All right. We are in the midst of talking about the power of blessing and honor. The power of blessing and honor. We spent the last 4 weeks talking about blessing. I hope it's not lost. I hope you've really absorbed how important it is for you to bless people, that you have a power to speak a blessing over others. And I especially challenge the husbands, the fathers that are here, that you'll step up, take the opportunities, whether it be a birthday, whether it's an anniversary, where you will speak a blessing over your home, over the people in your home. And we gave you some sample blessings. I hope that you're taking it. Don't let it settle where you don't do this. You know, we all have good intentions. Oh, that's good. I'm going to do that. And then we don't do it. And then it gets out of our mind. And then someone mentions it later, like I am now. And you go, oh, yeah. I really want you to follow through on this area of blessing and being a blessing to others. Now, we want to continue over the next probably about 4 weeks. We're going to talk about honor, the power of honor. Now, honor is very important because honor is the soil that blessings grow in. When you speak a blessing over someone's life, it's like you planted a seed in their life. And it's important that the seed is planted. But for that seed to grow and to flourish and come to full bloom, it needs to have a soil to grow in. The soil of our lives that allows a blessing to come to fulfillment in us is honor. I want you to, you're going to see this as we go over these next weeks. In other words, to receive a blessing, you need to be a blessing. When you honor someone, you are blessing them. You're being a blessing to someone. And when you are a blessing to someone else, the unexpected reward that comes back to us is an honor. Honor is the medium that God's power flows to us through. Now, we don't understand that. I don't think we'd verbalize it that way. We'd think, well, it's through prayer it flows to us. It's by faith it flows to us. And all that is true. But you're going to see as we get into this that honor, the medium of honor, allows a power and a blessing to flow back into our lives. So I hope by the end of this period that we have together over the next 4 weeks, that we will have a new appreciation of honor, that literally it will change the way we think, that it changes the way we speak, and it changes the way we act. And Father, that's my prayer right now for us, that this word will be effective, it would not return void, but it will accomplish this in our lives this morning. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. If you want to take out the fill-in, there's a fill-in sheet in your bulletin. Take it out, follow along. Fill in the main points so you can take it home, review it later. Our starting point is 1 Peter 2:17. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Now, in this verse, it speaks about honor at the beginning and at the end, and basically in the middle expresses how it comes through, the medium it comes through. So we're to honor. Now, the last phrase we sort of get, honor the king. Well, a king should be honored. But here's the very first part of this, honor all people. Now, that's different, and we're going to see in a moment why we don't do that. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. You have to have a fear of God in order to carry this out. Honor the king. Now, if we go, the first fill-ins is the definition of honor. I just went to the dictionary, looked at what does it say to honor someone. It says to treat with high regard and respect. To treat with high regard and respect. To yield an opinion, judgment, and wishes. Now, if we didn't add that part, we could say, yes, I honor people. I hold people in high regard. I respect people. And our words are only sort of tongue deep. We're not really respecting. We're not really honoring unless this second part of the definition kicks in. To yield. to yield to someone else in opinion, in judgment, in your wishes. If you're going to honor someone, it means you yield to your opinion, to their opinion. You yield your judgment to their judgment. You yield your wishes to their wishes. Now how many people are you honoring? We might even say, well, we honor the king, we honor the prime minister, we honor all this, but I'm not yielding any opinion to them or any judgment or any wishes. In fact, if we saw that verse, it said honor all people. Well, it's not the only place. The Bible says esteem others better than yourself. Esteem others better than yourself. This is a concept, this is a truth that we need to lay hold of. And I'm praying that this message will mess with us this morning. I pray that it will stir you up. I almost pray like it makes you a little angry, but that you'll think through it and say, okay, but is it in the Word of God? I don't necessarily like everything that's being said, but is it in the Bible? Is this God's truth? And a lot of times we don't experience what God has for us because we're not getting serious with the Word of God. We want to act like the world acts, think like the world thinks. And I don't mean that in an evil way, but we just have the natural thinking of the world, the mindset of the world. And then we wonder why we don't experience the fullness of God, because we're not doing things that the Bible says that are essential for us to receive the power that's going to flow back into us. So let's go a little further in this. The definition of dishonor. Dishonor. It says to discredit by treating as ordinary and menial. Just ordinary, just common. You just treat something as ordinary or menial. We've all heard the word menial. I thought I knew what it meant, but I thought, I better look that up. What does menial mean? If the definition says it's treating as something ordinary or menial, you look up menial in the dictionary, and it says to treat as a servant, something that is fit for just a servant, something that's menial. A dignified person would do this. But this is just a menial task. Someone else of lower class can do this. So you discredit, you dishonor someone by just treating them as ordinary. Nothing special. You honor someone by treating them special. Now here's where the problem comes in. If you're to honor all people, then all people are special. And that's where we get it. This is where we get the problem. Because we don't think all people are special. There's some people are special. Isn't the very definition of special is that they're special, they're above the ordinary. And so we don't treat everybody with honor because we don't think everybody's special. There's only some people that are special. And even then, we don't get into the depths of honor. We just sort of verbally express it, but we don't really defer in opinion and judgment and wishes. So this needs to work in us, and we got to think this through a little bit. And this is where you've got to make a decision that everyone is special. Everyone you lock eyes with, God gave his life for them. He has a plan and purpose for them. Before the foundation of the world, he designed them. And he has a plan for them. And he gave his life for them. Everyone you meet matters to God in a very special way. It's like always when I'm talking about this, I say, every one of us is unique in God's eyes, just like everyone else. We're all unique and we're all special, just like everyone else. So my attitude has to shift, that I need to honor what God is doing in someone else's life. And that when I lock eyes with someone, I need to realize that person matters tremendously to the Lord. God cares tremendously for that person. That person, the Lord is thinking about and has thoughts towards and has a plan and a future for them. And I have been privileged to cross their path, to be a blessing to them, to be an instrument of God into their lives. That should be the mindset that we have towards every person. With that mindset, we are then positioning ourselves to be able to honor people. So, again, start digesting these truths and seeing how they are relevant to your life. Okay, let's go on to the fill-in here. The next one, the virtue of honor is almost lost in our Western society. The virtue of honor is almost lost in our Western society. Now, we still have some remnants of it. We call the judge, what we call the judge, your honor, because the person is special. He's the judge. He has control. He has authority. He can give a sentence. We call the judge your honor. We refer to him as your honor. About a year ago, I went to court. I was given a traffic ticket. I didn't think I was deserving of the traffic ticket I was given, so I decided I'd go to court. Thankfully, the judge saw it along my lines, and it was reduced. But I was sitting there waiting in the court to come before the judge. And there was this fellow there, and his court was called, and he came up, sort of slouched there. He had a hat on, and the judge said to him, "Take your hat off." And so he took his hat off, and he said, "Stand up straight." What was the judge doing? The judge was saying to him, the way you're dressed, the way your posture is not honoring to where you're standing. You're standing in a court. You're standing before a judge. You need to be respectful. You need to realize you don't act and speak the same way you do anyone else. Your honor. So we still have some remnants of it in our court system. In our parliament, members that are elected to our parliament are called the honorable member of Kitchener-Waterloo. Honorable. And so there are some rules in parliament. There's some on parliamentary language. And that would be if you would call another member a liar. The Speaker of the House would stop and he would ask you to apologize, because you do not refer and speak to another member in the House as being a liar. Why? Because that would be dishonorable to that person. And this is an honorable gentleman. And so we don't talk that way. Now, I wish that all honorable members of the House acted honorably. And many times, people don't act honorably, but the principle of honor still is there. And boy, we're going to get to this in weeks to come. I'll just say it now. We need to honor people who don't act honorably. And we're going to see that through the Scripture. You honor people that don't act honorably. Now, this is where it really digs in, and where it goes against our natural thinking, and where we begin to express a truth and release a power into our life that we've never had before. So, the honorable member of the House of Commons. West Point, the military academy in the U.S. that trains military officers, they have an honor code. What's the honor code of West Point? That a cadet does not lie, cheat, or steal, and will not tolerate those who do. So any cadet that's found that they have lied, they've cheated, or they have seen it and not reported it, they are brought up before a tribunal and can be expelled because of the honor code of West Point. Now, why is that so? Because we're saying we're all cadets. We're in an honorable profession. We're in the military. And I tell you, the military, like no other, still maintains that aspect of honor. You salute a military officer. There's a respect and an honor that's given to those in the military. And so it's expressed in this way. Now, I can go on and on with this, but I think you're catching what I'm saying here. There's still remnants of it, but we've lost the most of it in our society. Society does not recognize it. You know, one simple way to express it, we've seldom hear Mr. and Mrs. any longer. When I was young, growing up, you never heard a younger person refer to an older person by their first name. My dad was Mr. Miles. My mother was Mrs. Miles. People even that worked with each other would refer to him as Mr. So-and-so. We're going to go over to Mr. Miller's. He had the chopping operation. And Mr. Robinson had the slaughterhouse at the end of our lane. It was always the last name. But we've lost that. We've become more informal. We dress down. We don't dress up. And I'm not saying that we have to return to all these things, but it speaks to something. It speaks that our society no longer recognizes this thing of honor. Anybody just was referred to as their first name. It's just, hey, you, hey, this. And there's not the respect. The whole music industry is very much disrespectful and rebellion. The more rebellious a group is, the more popular it seems to be in society. And if you walk down the aisle and you're looking at the CD covers as you go and you see the pictures of the different bands and the groups, they're not there with smiling faces. They're there with scowls. They're there, you know, sort of looking to express that rebellion. And that's what sells today. We've lost honor. I've started watching old movies on the Turner Classic Channel. And I've been watching movies from the 40s and 50s and people that, you know, I'd heard but never really, they were before my time. And I'm just surprised how the different acting and the relationships portrayed in the movie of people to people, how respectful it was. Again, the Mr. and the Mrs. was just a common part in the workplace. It wasn't just Susie at the desk. It was Miss So-and-so that was the receptionist. Now, I'm not saying we got to go back to all those things. I'm just saying honor's been lost. Even I remember my grandfather. I just coming to mind, I didn't share this in the first service, but I remember my grandfather, and he was older school. And I remember, I even forget what I did exactly when I was just a little guy, because we lived in a double house. They lived on one side, we lived on the other. But I remember my grandfather, when I was, you know, 6 or 7, and I said something, he grabbed me, and he told me in no certain terms that I was not to speak to him in that way, and there was a way to address him. And, you know, again, that's lost. You spoke to him, you know, as sir. There was a matter of honor and respect. Now, we can argue one way or the other, you know, should we maintain all those things? That's not my point. My point is society better for losing that honor? Are we better off? It's hard to argue that we're better off in the disrespect and the discourse that happens in every level of our society. We've just lost it, that fact of honoring and respecting one another. One that really hits us, is significant to us, look at the traditional wedding vows. What do a couple vow to each other to do? To love and to honor. Honor. And as I go through the premarital counseling with couples, I stress this. We take a whole session and I talk about honor. And I talk about what it means to honor. And this whole matter of yielding and judgment and wishes. Are you honoring? Do you honor? Or are you contesting? Are you contentious? You're contending for your view. You're fighting for your view. Or do you have honor? Well, you say, well, if I have honor, that means I'm just going to be a doormat. Well, you're going to see here the verses that speak about honor. And that if we all humble ourselves, that God will exalt us. That God's way is always opposite of our natural inclination. And I see a whole lot of couples that have problems and conflict in their marriage. And when I speak to them, I realize there's a lack of honor here. Each one's fighting for their rights. There's a lack of honor. So this is an important concept. And we're just going to scratch the surface this morning as we get into this. But I want you to understand this. Now, let's go to our key verses in Mark 6, verses 1 to 5. Speaking about Jesus, says, well, here's your fill-in. Jesus was dishonored in Nazareth. Jesus was dishonored in Nazareth. Then he went out from there, came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. Many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? So they were offended at him. They said, this is just Jesus. I mean, he seems to be speaking as one that has authority here. We even recognize he's doing miracles. What is this? This is just the carpenter. They remembered him up until the age of 30. Jesus worked in the carpenter shop. When they had a problem, they took it. Jesus would work on it. He made their chairs, their tables. The carpenter shop, cupboards, Jesus made them. His brothers and sisters were there. They saw him growing up. They saw him running around. They saw him in the stores. They saw him different places. It was just common, just ordinary. They weren't even rejecting this teaching. They just said, who is he? Why is he speaking with authority? They didn't even say, these miracles aren't of God. They just said, we don't understand this. Miracles, it says he's had miracles, and it says he, you know, he's speaking with authority. This is just Jesus. So how did Jesus respond to this? But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. Now he could do no mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. It said Jesus could do no mighty work there. It didn't say that he would not do any mighty work. It said he could not do any mighty work. There was something that was restricting the release of his power. And it was because of the dishonor of the people. Now, this is an amazing truth. And I've already said it earlier in this message. The medium that God's power flows through is honor. When you honor God, you honor the people that God has sent, there is a release of power to you. You don't honor, it's restricted. Somehow in that humbleness, humility, that place of putting yourself below, it's almost, and maybe that's the way it works. It works on gravity. The lower you get, the stronger the gravity of pulling God's power towards you. Now, I know I can say that, and it might just sort of bounce off of us, but I'm praying that that'll get through to you. That it'll get through to you. Is that the case? I've been wanting some things to happen. I only see a little bit of God's power in my life. He healed a few people there. I experience God's work in my life from time to time, but I don't really see everything that the Bible says will happen, and I'm wanting more of God's power in my life, and we never connect it. We're praying for our situation. You're saying, oh, God, move into my situation. Lord, redeem the situation. But you're not connecting it with honor. And if we would honor, God's power is going to flow. If you don't honor, it's going to be restricted. Jesus wept when he entered Jerusalem. He wept, and it said because they missed the day of their visitation. He was there. He was their Messiah. He had so much to offer them. He was there to minister to them, but he wept because they missed it. They didn't see it. I wonder if Jesus is weeping over us today. Is he weeping over your family? Is he weeping over your situation? He's saying, I'm here, but they're missing it. They're missing it. there's no honor here. I can't minister in this lack of honor. Because honor is an act of humility, and God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country. And this is the situation. It's the people closest to us that we dishonor. And it's the people that's closest to us that's going to minister to us. You dishonor your husband. What is meant to flow through you from your husband will not flow to your life. You dishonor your wife. Then the ministry that that wife is to have to you, you're not going to receive it. You dishonor your children. Children dishonor parents. People dishonor their boss. They dishonor the government. The more you dishonor, the less you're going to receive through them. And you can see why it's so hard, because honor is that they're special. But if they're closest to me, it's common. It's ordinary. We see their flaws. We see their warts. But God uses people with flaws and warts. You don't have to be perfect for God to use you. But because we see that and we say it's common, we dishonor people. We don't come with an expectation. We don't come with an excitement to say God's going to work through me, with me through this person. If we went from a distance, someone we don't know, we honor them and then we receive. But we don't receive from the people that are closest to us, because they're the hardest people to honor. And so you have to make a decision. I'm going to honor all people. I'm going to honor people that are in my country. I'm going to honor people that are in my relatives. And I'm going to honor people in my own house. Your life will change. Your life will dramatically change if you start honoring people in your own household. Is God working in our hearts? Is he digging around in our lives this morning? I pray that he does. Here's your next fill-in. Dishonor begins in the heart. Dishonor begins in the heart. Another occasion in the life of Jesus, Mark 2 and verse 5. They had brought a man that was lame. They carried him. They couldn't get into the house, so they tore the roof off the house and let the man down through into the presence of Jesus. Here's how Jesus responds. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But immediately, notice the word immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, "Why do you reason about these things in your heart?" Honor starts in the heart. It will express itself through words and action, but it starts in the heart. And you can short circuit and appear to be honoring by, on the surface, deferring and, you know, maybe, you know, speaking nice about someone or putting them first. But God looks right through the heart. You can be doing something outwardly, and in your mind you're thinking, "What a jerk." Honor's got to start in your heart. Starts with God. Recognizes God's created everybody. God's got a plan for everybody's life. It's a real privilege for me to have met this person and be having some reaction with them, interaction with them, because God's got a purpose for them. And I better be careful what I am saying and what I'm doing is aiding what God wants to do in their life. So I don't want to do anything to short-circuit what God is doing. And so it's in your heart. It's in your heart. It's in your spirit. You're honoring people. Because if not, the Lord looks right by. Other people would miss it. You know, they think he's a pretty honoring person. Because man looks on the outside. that God looks at the heart. So be sure that honor is starting in your heart. Here's your next fill-in. Dishonor restricts us from experiencing God's mighty power. Now, we've already talked to this, but here's the verses, and we'll come around this next week as well. But Matthew 10, Jesus is talking to his disciples. Now, hear what he says. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. He who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. So what's Jesus saying? He's talking to his disciples. He's sending them out. He says, if people receive you, they receive me. If they receive me, they receive my Father who sent me. If you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, in other words, you recognize the position that the person has, you're going to receive that prophet's reward, that benefit that's going to come to you through that person. So it's not just honoring God, it's honoring the people that God sends. See, a lot of us will say, well, I honor God, but that's just so-and-so. I honor Jesus, but the guy sitting down the pew from me, he just lives across the road from me, and I know his problems. But if you receive a person in the name of his office, his position, his gifting, you'll receive the benefit of it. You know, let me try to illustrate this, and I've shared this before, but it just illustrates this point so well. A number of years ago, I had been meeting with a number of men and as pastors, and we had an accountability group, and we shared. And then a couple of those pastors moved away to other cities, and so the group sort of broke up, and I realized I needed a pastor, someone that I was submitted to and someone that could speak into my life. And so I approached another pastor in the city, and I said, would you be my personal pastor? So we talked about what that would mean and so forth, and he graciously agreed to it. We had been in the city and co-pastored for years and years. He called me Ken, and I called him Steve. It was just, we were just friends. We were peers. But from that day on, I determined my heart. I always refer to him as Pastor Steve. Because he asked me for it? No. But that was to remind me, he's my pastor. He has a position in my life that I need to respect. I'm going to speak to him respectfully. I'm going to speak to him reminding myself that he's my pastor. And to this day, and that's several years ago, if I'm talking to Kay and we're you know, I'll say, Pastor Steve called or whatever. Because I want to just remind me of that position. It's a way of honoring him and receiving him in the name of the position that he has in my life. And I shared with you before, a number of years ago after this, I was in the hospital, had open heart surgery, and I had my heart wasn't beating right because of the operation. And they were keeping me longer until my heart rhythm settled down. And Pastor Steve came in. He said, when are you going home? I said, I don't know. I can't go home until my heart settles down. I still remember him bowing down on his knee. And he took my hand. He prayed for me that God would heal me and that my heart would come into proper function. The next morning, the cardiologist came in, and he said, you can go home today. I said, oh. He said, yeah, your heart settled down last night. And because they had all the monitors on me, I said to him, what time did it settle down? He said, 9:30. 9:30 was the time Pastor Steve was in my room and he was praying for me. I believe that part of that power that flowed to me was because I respect that man. And I, even though I would say he was my peer, now I realize his position. And I believe I received the reward by recognizing the position he had in my life. Now, just think about that in your own situation. Who are the people in positions of authority that God has sent into your life? Parents. Government officials. Church officers and church positions. bosses, foremans, if we would honor and respect and believe no authority, as the Bible says, no authority comes on its own. All authority is given by God. And that we even honor the ones that act dishonorably. You are opening a channel to yourself that you will not even imagine, a channel of power and blessing that will come to you that is restricted if you dishonor them. Here's your fill-in on this statement. If we honor those who are over us, we receive the reward God gives through their position. If we honor those who are over us, we receive the reward God gives through their position. So honor positions you to receive God's full blessing. That's your next fill-in. Honor positions you to receive God's full blessing. Quickly, I want to just give you the last three fill-ins here. What is the blessing of honor that comes to you? A, honor brings great faith. Honor brings great faith. We don't have time to go to the story, but I'll just refer to it. Jesus was at Capernaum. A centurion who is the captain over 100 men in the Roman army came to Jesus, said, "My servant is paralyzed, afflicted. Will you heal him?" Jesus said, "I'll come and heal him." Now, what did the centurion say next? The centurion said, "I'm not worthy for you to come into my house." Now, that was great honor that he paid Jesus. It wasn't like the people in Nazareth. Oh, this is just Jesus. The centurion says, "I'm not worthy for you to come into my house. I'm a man of authority, and I'm under authority. I say to men, come, and they come. I tell them to go, and they go. I recognize your authority. You just speak the word, and my servant be healed." Now, what does it say that Jesus does in this? It says, Jesus heard it, and he marveled. It's hard to get Jesus to marvel at anything. But he marveled at this. And he said to those who followed, "Surely I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel." In other words, when you honor and you act in honor, faith has to come forth. Faith is, he can speak the word and it will be done. Faith says, "I am deferring my opinion, my understanding, because I'm recognizing a position here, and I believe that God is going to work through this. And rather than my pushing this and bringing my view out, I'm going to honor and respect and believe that God will work." And great faith comes as a result of that. A faith that breaks down walls, breaks through barriers, brings healing, brings reconciliation in situations. But we beat our head against the wall, contending, dishonoring the very ones that God has put in our lives to bless us. And if we would just take a stance of humility, there's going to be a flow of blessing. This is the unexpected reward of honor. Have you been expecting that when you honor someone else, that there's going to be great faith built in your heart? It's true. Here's the next one. Honor brings great grace. Great grace. The story's in Mark 7. Again, I'll just tell you, this lady, a Syrophoenician lady, she's Greek, she's not a Jewish person. She has a daughter who has an unclean spirit, Scripture says. Says she comes to Jesus and she kept asking him to heal her daughter. Now, the reason it says she kept asking him, that implies he didn't respond. She asked and he ignored her. She kept asking again, kept asking and kept asking. And so finally, Jesus speaks to her. And you'll be surprised what he said. He said to her, "The meat, the bread, are meant for the children at the table. They're not meant for the dogs." Now, what could she take from that? Well, what a slight. What a put down. You mean you can try to reason this any other way, but God called her a dog. Jesus called her a dog. Now, we can go into the theology that he was sent to Israel first, and then he was going to turn to the Gentiles. There was a reason, I mean, why Jesus did it. But in her situation, she could have been greatly offended. She could have said, "You racist bigot. I can't believe you talk that way. You have no right to talk to me that way. You think you're better than me? I'm telling you, I'm just as good as any of the other people here. I'm not going to take that kind of talk." She could have given him bitter words back to her, because I come to you, I believe in you, I'm coming asking you to heal my daughter, and you're treating me this way? And she could have wrapped herself in her indignance and marched away without her daughter being healed, but feeling quite self-righteous in what she did and telling everyone else how despicable Jesus treated her. Now, this is a real story, folks. I'm not making this up. This is what happened. But she didn't allow, and if I could put it this way, and only God knows, because in his mind, in truth, it wasn't dishonoring, but she could have interpreted dishonoring words, unjust accusations towards her, a put down to her. But she didn't react. She kept honoring him. She kept honoring him. And I believe it was in the depths of her heart. I believe she didn't react. She loved God. She believed Jesus could. She was his. He was our only hope. So how does she respond? You can read it here. She answered and said to him, "Yes, Lord. Yet even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For this saying, go your way, the demon has gone out of your daughter." For this saying, she spoke words that were honoring. She rejected the slight. She rejected the opportunity to take hurt in the words. And because she rejected it and she still honored, then she opened a wide road for God's power and blessing and grace to come into her life. The unexpected reward of honor. I tell you, your honor will be tested. It's not easy, or not hard to honor people that are honorable. It's hard to honor those around us that we, as I said earlier, you see their warts, you see their imperfections. But God uses imperfect people. And if we have faith in God that he's bigger than the person, but we recognize God has positioned this person in my life, and not only just the king, but I'm going to honor all people, then we are going to receive the blessing that could come back into our life that God wants us to have. Now, here's the last fill-in. Honor brings great recognition. Honor brings great recognition. Jesus is at Bethany. He's sitting around Lazarus' table, I believe. He's sitting with the men, I mean the dignified people. They're sitting at the table with Jesus, probably people off on the side, sort of, didn't get a place at the table, but they're listening in. And they're talking, discussing things back and forth with Jesus. This lady comes in. She has an alabaster box filled with precious ointment. She comes in and she breaks the box and she anoints Jesus' feet. It was very costly. So it was 300 denarii. If you read the parables of Jesus, a denarii was the day's wage. And so she gave nearly a year's wage. That's what it was worth, this box. But she honored God. She honored Jesus. She realized it doesn't matter. I'll give my all. I'll give my everything to this man. And we know that perhaps there was a history of God working and healing her in the past, but we don't know exactly from this portion of Scripture. The men at the table, people in the house said, "This is a waste. What does she think she's doing?" What they were saying by implication, Jesus isn't worth this. You're wasting your substance when it could have gone to a better cause. Isn't that the temptation of all of us? When we're tempted to honor, and we're told to honor people, we feel like, well, this is extravagant. I mean, I'm going too far. Satan will always say, "You're going too far. Do this in mediation. I mean, don't go overboard with this truth. Yeah, honor a little bit, but I mean, you got to hold something back in reserve. That's not what it says here. She gave it all. Now, what did Jesus say? He comes to her defense. And he says, let her alone. She's anointed me to my burial. So they only saw Jesus sort of as a great teacher, a great prophet. Somehow, and I don't know whether it was in her mind or heart, but this act of anointing was recognizing he was going to go to the cross. He was going to die. He was being anointed to his burial and to his resurrection and his whole purpose and what was happening through him. And somehow, this act expressed that. He said, leave her alone. She's anointed me to my burial. And then he says this amazing thing in verse 9. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. So what this woman has done is going to be spoken of on down through the ages. And lo and behold, we're talking about it this morning. Talking about this lady. What great recognition. If we humble ourselves and take a low place, the Bible says he will exalt us. He will lift us up. We will fulfill all that God has for us. It's when we honor someone else and defer to them and we bless them, don't think, now I'm going to be a doormat. No. God says, I'm here. I'm controlling this. I will lift you up. I'll recognize you. I'll put you in a place of great praise and exaltation. Not because we desired it, but just simply because that's the result. The unexpected reward of honor is great recognition. Would you stand with me this morning? The last verse on the sheet says this. 1 Samuel 2:30. Those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. When I read that verse, I'm reminded of the movie Chariots of Fire, which was a movie on Eric Little, who was a Scottish runner in the 1924, I believe, Olympics. He was a Christian, but he was running for the United Kingdom in the Olympics. But he had a personal conviction that he should not run on Sunday. And lo and behold, when he gets to the Olympics, one of the heats for him to qualify to run in the race was held on the Sunday. And all of his friends and even the authorities from the country tried to persuade him, go ahead, run on the Sunday. It's okay, it's just an exception. But in his own heart, he felt he would be dishonoring God, dishonoring his faith, dishonoring his beliefs and convictions. And he didn't. And he said, no, I'm not going to. I won't do it. As you, those of you that know the story, he never ran in that race and he wasn't expected to win anything. But they entered him in another race that was twice the distance. That they didn't think he necessarily had any chance of winning. As they're standing and lining up at the blocks, the American runner, I believe his name was Schultz, came to him and gave him a piece of paper. He took the paper and he opened it up, and you can read it. It's history. And on that paper, it was this verse. Those who honor me, I will honor. And even that other racer was just saying to him, you honored God. God's going to honor you. And to everyone's surprise, he won the gold medal in that race. I tell you, there's something in honor. You honor God, he'll honor you. If you despise God and you want to go your own way and to keep your own thoughts, then we're going to be lightly esteemed. The challenge is there for us today. And I just pray that God will help us. Help us this morning to have a new appreciation for honor. Now, we're just beginning today. We're going to get into it, dig deeper in the next few weeks. But I wonder if at the end of this service, we could just sort of open our hearts and say, God, I'm opening my heart to this truth. I'm opening my heart. I want to know more about it. I want to walk in this. I don't know whether I can do it. Lord, I can't do it in my own strength, but I'm opening my heart that honor will have a greater place in my heart. If you really feel that this morning, would you just lift your hand as I pray? Just lift your hand, signifying you want to get in on this prayer. Father, I've come before you right now, and we lift our hands to this truth, this principle that's in your word. Lord, let me be a more honoring person, not just honoring those that are far, but honoring those in my own household, Lord, and among my own relatives and in our own place. Lord, help me to be an example of honor. And Lord, I pray that all of us will be transformed by this truth, that there would be channels of blessing that would come back to us, that we'd be able to be more effective in this world and can accomplish more for you. Lord, I pray it and ask it in the name of Jesus for your honor and glory. And everyone said, amen. Amen. All right, we're going to dismiss you this morning.